Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
It is absolutely necessary that we all get together, we work together, we respect each other, we like and love each other.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
I'm getting tired of people running from me in the ring. Mike Tyson, Holyfield, you a bunch of bums. Stand up and be a man and fight a real fighter.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide on WBC-TV. Often imitated, but never duplicated. 37, make that 38 plus years now of knocking out all bums. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. When I say modest, I say with a capital M. Straight up, I'm also an award-winning writer and a four-time Golden Glove champion. So supposedly, I know a little bit about boxing. But guess what? The average fan always knows more. So I give you the toll-free phone line here at the top of each hour. I give you the opportunity to chime in if you'd like. The number, 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, there's also the guilt-free no-commitment text line. That number, 415-275-1613. The text line, once again, 415-275-1613. Well, guess what? An upset occurred across the pond. 70,000 people showed up to see Anthony Joshua get licked. A 3-1 favorite, of course, a 3-1 favorite over former cruiserweight champion Oleg Usyk. Usyk came in like 25-0, left at 26-0. It was boxing 101 for 12 rounds. Usyk's fate was never really in jeopardy. I mean, he wasn't on the verge of being knocked out, nothing like that. A 12-round boxing contest, no doubt about that. But the southpaw from the Ukraine, he looked good. We'll talk about that and more. Larry Merchant will be here today. We'll spend some time with Kenny Rainford. And in hour number two, we'll bring in the WBC 130-pound champion, the linear world champion, Oscar Valdez, today on Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
That you talk really knocks me out, girl. The clothes that you wear, the style of your hair, the way that you fare. Under all conditions, you're mine all of the time. So wonderful, so marvelous, girl. You're everything to me.
Check out the WBC website. The WBC's interactive website, of course, we're talking about WBCboxing.com. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Welcome to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, coming to you from the Sports Byline Studios in the city by the bay, San Francisco, California. Straight up, big heavyweight upset across the pond, of course. Wow. When you outsmart yourself, when you think you're outsmarting everybody else, you end up outsmarting yourself. I'm talking about Anthony Joshua, maybe Barry Hearn, his promoter as well. Check this out. Joshua had one fight left on his Sky Sports contract. So he wanted to fulfill this contract and then move on to DAZN, maybe, and sign for some more money. Obviously, some more money. He would go with DAZN and then fight Tyson Fury in a big mega match, okay? So he scheduled this fight with Oleg Usyk, the number one ranked WBO contender. No doubt about it, Usyk, 25-0, won the world's boxing series. I mean, he's a former cruiserweight champion, undefeated, never tasted a loss, two-time world amateur champion. I mean, he's the real deal, no doubt about that. And plus, he looks like Charles Manson with boxing gloves. Okay, so he's a monster, but size we thought would prevail, and size didn't prevail yesterday. Actually, it was speed and good old boxing 101. I think the scores were something like 117, 112, 116, 112. That's a one-sided fight. 8-4 in rounds, 116, 112. 115, 113 was the closest score, and that was 7-5 in rounds. Joshua drops to 24-2 with 22 whacks. The guy from the Ukraine is now 19-0, I guess. I actually don't count those World Series boxing fights he had, but 19-0 now with 13 whacks. An impressive performance. I didn't see Joshua winning too many rounds at all. I just didn't see him winning too many rounds. I mean, he tried to impose his will, but he didn't try hard enough. He's not hungry enough. He's not ghetto enough. He's not mean enough. He's like a golly gee whiz type of black guy. God, I hate to say it like that, but that's just the way. I mean, 2012 Olympic gold medalist, a latecomer to boxing. Another guy, when he came to the pinnacle of boxing, okay, he flopped. And why do I say that? Because, you know, he flopped against Andy Ruiz. I mean, Andy Ruiz should have been an easy night for him. He should have been able to box a fat guy for 12 rounds with no problem, okay, like he did the second time around. And then last night he suffers a loss to Oleg Usyk, a guy that was probably not supposed to beat him. But, you know, Usyk being a left-hander and employing basic boxing skills, feinting, moving, feinting shoulders, using feint right jabs, left crosses. He was doing it all. I mean, he feinted Joshua out of his pants. And Joshua kept going for it and kept going for it. And except with the exception of maybe one time where I thought he rattled Usyk, it was all Usyk as far as I was concerned in this fight. It was a one-sided fight. I mean, a one-sided fight. The scorecards were not indicative as one side of the fight was. It just wasn't. I mean, because they were trying to give everybody, I think was trying to give Anthony Joshua the benefit of the doubt, because you're watching something, these judges are watching something, and they've been preconceived to believe it's going to go down this way, and it's going down the other way. So they can't go all the way to the extremes like they should with those scores. I think those scores could have been a little higher than they were. But at the end of the night, the right guy won, and now, of course, he's either going to fight Joshua in a rematch. But why would Joshua want to fight him in a rematch? You know, Hector and I were talking about this. And why would Joshua want to fight him in a rematch after getting schooled the way he did? I mean, the best move for Joshua right now, and he's a money grabber, that's all he can do now is make money. He's not a real guy as far as the heavyweight crown's concerned. I think he was exposed to an extent in the Andy Ruiz fight. And then, of course, last night, definitely exposed. But, you know, he has a rematch clause, so he can take the rematch if he wants. Or he can sit this one out and let the winner of the Deontay Wilder Tyson Fury fight, of course that's going to take place next month, but the winner of that fight will wait for the winner of that fight instead of going the rematch with Joshua. Because if he goes, the Joshua and Usyk go again, there's nothing that would tell me that the fight would be any different, if not more one-sided, because the guy would have more confidence and he'd jump on Joshua a little bit more. Joshua is a toothless tiger. And why do I say that? Because he looked good against fighting guys like Scott Cuddy and Pedro Fernandez and a whole lot of B guys, okay? When it stepped up to the A game, I mean, he couldn't handle Andy Ruiz, a big fat guy in Andy Ruiz. Well, he beat him in the rematch, but, you know, Andy beat himself in the rematch by not training, showing up for training camp at 317 pounds. Of course, he came in the ring at 283. Now he's down somewhere in the 240s. I don't know if the lighter weight is going to do him any good, but he's got Eddie Reynoso. Of course, Team Canelo Alvarez is back in Andy Ruiz as I speak. So it looks like Joshua's headed for the, you know, you can't keep rebuilding something. And he, as I said, a late comer, a late bloomer to boxing, much like the 2008 Olympic bronze medals. I'm talking about Deontay Wilder, the aforementioned Deontay Wilder. Both these guys weren't born boxing. Boxing wasn't part of their upcoming, okay? In other words, they sort of got turned on to boxing late in their teens. And when that happens, sometimes you just don't have the pedigree. The pedigree is not there. In other words, yesterday, it was all about size. No. Size should have prevailed, but size didn't prevail. The boxing pedigree prevailed. The southpaw boxing pedigree of Oleg Usyk. So you got to give him all kinds of props. Does he give Tyson Fury a bad time? Probably. Tyson Fury, of course, he takes care of Deontay Wilder in this October rematch, or the third fight. Of course, the first fight went down. It was a draw. That was a bit of a ripoff. Tyson Fury did get knocked down in two of those 12 rounds, but I thought he won the majority of the other rounds, without a doubt. And then, of course, in the second fight, Tyson Fury puts a rout on Deontay Wilder. Deontay Wilder says it was the volumes. It was Mark Breland put muscle tranquilizers in his water. The gloves were bad. His legs were hurting. The mask he went to the ring with weighed too much, the whole nine yards. So somehow he got through binding arbitration. They had some binding arbitrator rule that Deontay Wilder gets a third fight with Tyson Fury. In the meantime, Oleg Usyk steps up and takes out Anthony Joshua. Therefore, the big payday that those guys are dreaming about, that's gone. Speaking of big paydays, when I bring in Larry Merchant in a couple of minutes, that's what we'll talk about. The heavyweight paydays have got away. Tyson and Holyfield was a big money payday, but Tyson never fought Lennox Lewis. I mean, Lennox Lewis never fought Riddick Bowe. That was supposed to go down. All these guys have got personality issues. They don't want to give up an extra nickel. They don't want to give an extra dime. Listen, they've got the opportunity to make big, big money. Some of these lightweights as well, 135 pounds, 147 pounds. They're all like Stalin, looking like watching from afar. Like, you know, no, you got to get involved. Teofimo Lopez, of course, the world lightweight champion, going to take on George Kambosos, the number one ranked IBF contender in a couple of weeks. That's going to go down, I believe, on a Monday night in October on pay-per-view. But, you know, he's the real deal at 135. Now he's says he wants to move straight to 140. Why does he want to move to 140? Maybe it's Gervonta Davis being at 140. But then again, Gervonta Davis took that easy fight, or what he thought was an easy fight at 140, so he can move away from the nemesis or all the peril he was going to fall into at 135. He wasn't going to make 130 anymore. Of course, he said he felt good at 130 pounds, but Gervonta Davis is a ticking time bomb. So what I'm trying to tell, and he just is, he's a street kid. He gets in trouble. I mean, he gets in trouble. And, you know, that's just the way it is. And I don't think that Floyd Mayweather can babysit him enough. So you've got to get him in some fights. He doesn't have a fight schedule right now. Ryan Garcia is talking about coming back at the end of the year. Of course, Ryan Garcia at one point in time, the WBC lightweight champion, with an asterisk next to it because there was a couple WBC lightweight champions. Of course, Mauricio will probably come on next week and be able to explain that whole deal to us as far as the 135-pound division is concerned. But Devin Haney is a guy that talks a lot, but he ain't fought nobody. And he's from my city, from San Francisco, California. So I got to tell you, you know, I wish Devin Haney the best, man, but you got to stop talking. Like Ryan Garcia sort of got you on that email title stuff. He sort of got you on that one, but you got to step up. You got to do something because he talks a good game. He looks like a good fighter. He's got Ray Leonard-like hands. Maybe I'm pushing a little bit there, but he's got Ray Leonard-like hands, no doubt about it, okay? But if you don't fight guys, nobody's going to know. And Devin Haney, of course, has got on the side of milk cartons. When's the last time he's fought? Last year, Yuri Gamboa, and he wasn't all that impressive. So today, Devin Haney, not getting the benefit of a doubt. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. Next up, the retired HBO godfather, Larry Merchant, in the house on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Till I met you.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
Fellas, I'm ready to get up and do my thing. I want to get into it, man, you know. Like a sex machine, man. Moving, doing it, you know. Can I count it off? One, two, three, four. Get up.
Time to bring in the retired HBO godfather Larry Merchant as I have my production problems here in the studios. Nothing new here. You are tuned to the Sports Byline Broadcast Network live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, Channel 217, of course. Coming to you live, of course, on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. Larry Merchant in the house.
Larry Merchant is in his apartment.
Well, it's in the house. The house godmama.
We're both doing better and doing okay and getting around. And last weekend we had my granddaughter's wedding, and this afternoon or later this evening we're going to have a birthday party for her.
You know, I had you on last week's show. You were gushing. I mean, after the wedding. You were gushing on Sunday. You were like, I couldn't, you were like on cloud nine.
Yeah, or 10, 11, or 12. I was very high. We had an amazing wedding, and to see my granddaughter, who got off to a not great start in life, for reasons I won't go into, and to see her mature and travel and go to colleges and become a professional and now an entrepreneur running her own ice cream business with her husband. It was very rewarding.
You know, listen, speaking of ice cream, I just got back into training. You know, I refuse to train during the heat, Godfather, so during the summertime, I put on a few pounds, maybe about 12. So anyway, I'm back to running now, and I have to give up the ice cream for a while. So what's her ice cream brand real quick? Tell me.
Well, you can't get it on the West Coast yet.
Okay.
But it's called Bad Habit.
See? Exactly the point. Bad habits. Ice cream is a bad habit. Yeah, I remember one time, it wasn't ice cream, but it was just food. And we had a big, tall refrigerator. I think it was like in the early 80s. Had to be the early 80s. And my mother put a lock on the refrigerator. She put a chain around the It was like a bicycle lock, okay? So I come out like at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, going to rummage through the refrigerator because like, I'm going to make weight the next morning. But you can cheat a little bit, though. Anyway, she put a lock on the machine. Anyway, enough of that. You and I talked about this a little bit, but, you know, when super fights are on the table and fighters don't take the super fights when they're there, stuff happens. Or in boxing, spit happens, and spit in this instance is spelled with an H. The Tyson Fury-Anthony Joshua fight was considered like a mega, mega, mega fight. They were going to give him like a couple $100 million to go to Saudi Arabia and do that. Now this fight's done because they got greedy and wanted to sneak in one fight between. Is that the way it went down in your mind?
I'm not sure of what happened in all the negotiations and such, but it's unfortunate that we live in an age where if a fighter loses a fight or two, that we want to throw him on the trash heap.
Well, unfortunately, yeah, you got a point there. But, you know, here's what, and I'll bring this up too. You know, Joshua's a latecomer to boxing, much like Deontay Wilder. What I'm saying is when guys come into boxing, and I've seen it myself, when guys come into boxing late in their teens, there's something, sometimes there's something a little bit missing at the end. When they reach the pinnacle, or what should be the pinnacle of their careers, they come up a little bit short. Maybe it's not that they didn't have the, maybe they didn't come with a boxing pedigree. Yesterday was just boxing 101 as Oleg Usyk just schooled Anthony Joshua.
Well, he's the third Russian heavyweight champion in recent times, along with the Klitschko brothers.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some tradition being built up there and an opportunity to make the kind of money that was impossible in just doing it in Russia. So more good luck to him, and let's see if one of these big sluggers can get him. I think in the end it's may the best man win.
Good point. Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder. Deontay Wilder, another latecomer to the game. Guy came in as a 2008 Olympic bronze medalist into pro game, but he started late in his teens. Is there something to what I'm saying?
Yes.
Am I imagining things? In other words, guys.
No. You're exactly right. And it happens most particularly among heavyweights because they either had dreams of playing different sports and finally they went to the gym in their late teens and try to make it there. And I think the end result is that they don't see the punch coming. And if you don't see the punch coming, it lands harder than any other punch. So I think it's true of Joshua. Maybe it's true of Wilder. I don't know. We'll find out in that next fight. But you're absolutely right that you can't learn to play the trumpet like Louis Armstrong if you start at 18 or 20. You can play, but you can't play like that. And it's true of almost any form of art or entertainment.
Canelo Alvarez and Caleb Plant got into a bit of a tiff this week and ended up with a couple of bruises under Caleb Plant's eye, a little nick, a little cut. But the bottom line is the word mother ducker was used, and it wasn't exactly spelt that way, but mother ducker was used, and Canelo... when it's translated, when mother ducker is translated, it comes back like it's against your mother. And that's sort of the way that Canelo took it, and Canelo cracked him right there at the press conference.
Yeah, well, it must be, you know, part promotion, part emotion.
Yeah, without a doubt. He is boxing superstar right now. As far as guys on the horizon, Is David Benavidez the only guy maybe at 168 that has a chance in the next year or so of unseating the pound for pound king, do you think?
I don't know. because of the slowdown in boxing, as everything else during the pandemic, it slowed the process by which fighters had a chance to be exposed and explored. And I'm willing to wait and see, but I don't know that he's going to get the shot he wants. And is he the cat who beat Jamal?
No.
Who was that?
That was another guy. I can't remember his name. But the bottom line is, at 168 pounds right now, of course, Canelo going to take on Caleb Plant. That's going to be a big pay-per-view thing in November. They didn't fight in September because of contractual issues and money. Back to the super fights not happening. You know, there are fights out there that can be made. I mean, Earl Spence could be fighting Crawford, doesn't it? And all these guys are basically avoiding each other, Godfather, and time is ticking. You're blaming the pandemic, but a lot of these guys are just reluctant.
Well, the answer is obvious. They've made so much money, so much more money than challengers did in the past, that they don't feel compelled to go into the ring. Wow. And so managers want to make the fortunes that could support their families for generations, and promoters, with all that money out there, tens of millions of dollars. And a lot of guys who weren't raised in a money world don't know how to play the game the way they used to, where it was you fight the best fighter. In modern boxing, the object seems to be to steer away from the best fighters, unless they can make crazy money for everybody.
Okay, I'll bring up your former broadcast partner, the great Jim Lampley. Is he was supposed to do that thing with Trump last week, wasn't he? I didn't hear him on the broadcast, but wasn't he originally part of that?
Which fight?
Whatever fight they had, the Evander Holyfield fight, wasn't Jim Lampley supposed to voice that?
Yes.
And he didn't do it, did he?
He didn't do it because he found out that our esteemed former president, Donald Trump, was also involved in the broadcast.
You know, people say what they want about Lampley. Call him Lamps, call him which one, but I give him all the props in the absolute universe for that. I mean, some people are listening right now, probably clicking off the radio, turning off the internet in the whole nine yards, but I give him 1,000,000,000 props for doing it, for standing up like that and being a man, no doubt about that. Talk about Jim Lampley, of course, and Harold Letterman, the late Harold Letterman, and Larry Mercer. Of course, they were the three guys that were on HBO for over 30 years together. Godfather, what do you have planned this week?
Well, I have a birthday party to go to. I have some doctor's appointments.
Okay.
And I've designated New Year's as the time when I can dance again.
You know what? I'm happy that you're up and rocking and rolling. Kiss the godmama for me. Maybe not. Anyway, I know you're emotional about that. But I love you both, and I wish you the best, and I look forward to talking to you next week, sir.
I love talking to you, Pedro.
The great Larry Merchant, the Hall of Famer on Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV.
Baby, baby, baby.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council, right here on Sports Byline.
Some Tower of Power there coming back from the break. Of course, that is What Is Hip? Basically, if you don't know what hip is, you're not hip. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. We take it across the pond, folks, and bring in Sir Kenneth Rainford. Of course, boxing's greatest diplomat. And if you get on the bad side of him, he'll turn Ernie Chavers against you. And you don't want the heaviest puncher in the history of boxing coming after you. Bottom line is, Kenny, how are you?
I'm good, Pedro. Getting over the flu, but I'm good.
Okay, and Ernie celebrated his 77th birthday this week, didn't he?
August 31st it was.
Wow. So you still talk to him. I had him on the show a couple of years ago. What's he doing? I mean, what's retired life like for the hardest puncher in the history of boxing?
Well, obviously up until COVID 2 years ago, he was busy doing after dinner speaking and doing engagement, gym openings, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. He was keeping real busy. And then the last 2 years, obviously, you know, there's been nothing coming through. He's living in West Virginia with his daughters, Tamara and Catherine. And he's just taking day by day, you know, just taking it easy. But, he slowed down in the last 2 years because obviously, you know, he's been confined to barracks and, yeah. You know, he's not been busy at all apart from gardening and stuff. But he goes for walks and stuff. He's good, yeah. You 77, know, you can't complain.
You know, you and I still run and you've got a climate that you can train in all the time. I have a climate in California during the summertime. I didn't schedule too many fights. In other words, when they made me fight during the summertime, it was against my will. You know what I'm saying? In other words, I didn't want to do it. I hate training in the heat, so I haven't been training in the heat and it's cooling off now, so I'm back to running. What's it like to have, how's the hottest it gets in the UK? What's the hottest it gets?
Well, you can get real warm weather sometimes. Generally, you're looking at about 70, 80 degrees is an average, midsummer temperature. You know, it can get up to 90. I mean, the gym where I train at, because it's got a tarpaulin roof on, when it's warm outside, it can get to like 100 degrees inside the gym. And I love the heat. I love to train in the heat, me.
No. I'm down with heating up the gym. I'm not down with running in the heat. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like I hated it. That's why I would get up at like 5 o'clock in the morning. I remember training in Vegas one time and Johnny Taco telling me, well, son, if you want to beat the heat, you got to get up and run at 4:30. I told him, you must be out of your mind. And he was right.
Yeah.
He was right. Anyway, let's just switch gears. Let's talk about Anthony Joshua, of course, the UK cat, 2012 Olympic gold medalist. You and I, you've talked about this in the past. He was never a full dozen eggs, was he?
Well, you know, I've been telling everyone for years and years, you know, I like Anthony Joshua. I've met him on many occasions. He's a nice guy, but the nuts and bolts of it is he's a poor man's Frank Bruno. And that's it. I've been saying it for a long time. There's just no one around. There's no one, you know, Deontay Wilder will knock him out. Tyson Fury will play with him. And Usyk. I didn't think it was an exciting fight at all. And, you know, there was two key moments in the fight, the last round, I think it was the fourth or fifth, where Usyk stunned Joshua. You know, Joshua knows that he doesn't have the greatest chin in the world and he's business his way through the heavyweight title.
But it was beautiful. It was boxing 101. I mean, it just was feints, jabs, feints.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, footwork, the whole foot feints, the whole nine yards. He put it all together. He had Joshua. He schooled him.
Oh, without a doubt. And like you say, I love the head movement. The head movement is something you don't see in any weight division now like that, you know. But, you know, when I was watching that fight, I was watching the head movement. Joshua just didn't have a clue how to deal with it. I was imagining Joe Frazier, Jerry Quarry. In front of him. Oh, my God, he would have got butchered.
Yeah, he would have got butchered. You know, and Larry Merchant was on just a couple of minutes ago. We were talking about manufactured fighters. What I mean by manufactured fighters is that guys that sort of come into the game late. In other words, like Deontay Wilder, 2008 Olympic bronze medalist, came into boxing in his teens. Joshua came into boxing in their teens. They don't have the pedigree. They didn't grow up with boxing in their blood. And there's something, and it creates a shortcoming in these guys, and when they reach the pinnacle, they fail.
Yeah, without a doubt, you know, without a doubt.
So
Joshua at 240, he could have lost another 10 or 15 pounds, and been a bit sharper as well.
And what's the thing with him going through metamorphosis each time he fights? These different bodies each time. I mean, I'm not trying to say the guy's taking Flintstone vitamins or steroids or nothing like that, but every fight he's got a different body. I mean, is he not happy with himself?
I don't know. I think he looks in the mirror and thinks that's what it's all about, to be honest with you. It's not about physical presence. It's about your tools, what you've got, you know. I mean, Ken Norton and Mike Weaver had Adonis bodies, but they always trained to be as trim as possible because they knew the trimmer they were, the faster they were, and the sharper they were.
Lawrence Okoli fought last night a WBO cruiserweight title loaded at KO winner in three rounds over Dylan Pravnik. It was 15-1 now with 12 KOs. At cruiserweight, is he the heir apparent to Usyk?
Yeah. Remember the last time I was on the show, I told you to keep your eye on him.
Yeah.
He's definitely the business, that guy. He's definitely one to watch.
How often can he squeeze in another fight before the end of the year?
Oh yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. If I was Barry Hearn, Eddie Hearn rather, I'd be looking to make the Usyk rematch before Christmas.
Why do I keep calling this guy Barry Hearn when it's Eddie Hearn? What's up with that?
Yeah, well, it's his father. His father's name is Barry Hearn. His father started Matchroom Boxing, yeah. And then Eddie's taken over the reins from him.
Yeah. Hey, what's Frank Warren doing these days?
Well, he's over in Vegas at the moment with Tyson Fury. Mm-hmm. You know, waiting for the fight in a fortnight's time. Obviously, they had words on. They had a press conference yesterday, and Tyson used some words that can't be repeated over the airwaves in a short message to Wilder. He's got to be in his bonnet that Wilder keeps telling him he's going to kill him this time and do this and do that. The other. I hope, you know, Tyson Fury's doing what he needs to do, which I'm told he is,
you know,
to make sure he wins this fight, you know.
You know, Frank Warren has been through some stuff. I mean, Mike Tyson beat him up, and I can't think of the guy that was the IBF champion, his name slips my mind right now. Terry Marsh that shot him. I mean,
yeah.
Terry Marsh shot him. When I cornered Terry Marsh on this in London, I cornered him, Kenny, on we're at winning the med fights or something like that. So I cornered him. I took him aside. I said, listen, man, I'm not going to tell anybody. As God is my witness, I won't tell anybody. Did you shoot this dude? Because everybody says you shot this guy. And you're not saying anything like you didn't. And he goes, he gives me, he winks at me three times. He goes, I didn't shoot anybody.
Yeah.
So
of course he shot him.
Of course he shot him. But Frank Warren got shot by him and he got beat up by Mike Tyson. Frank Warren's 0-2 against fighters.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's been a few more that we don't know about that have had Frank by the neck before now, you know?
Callum Smith made his debut at 175 with of course, the guy that lost at 168 to Canelo Alvarez, now 28-1, 20 KOs. A quick winner by knockout over Len Castillo, came in at 21-4. Is Callum Smith really a 175-pounder, or is he just looking for money?
He's looking for money. He's looking for money. You know, for me, definitely. Definitely. Not 175. And another, not to change on the show last night, of course, he's just coming in from work. Ricky Hatton's son, for me, lost a blatant decision last night. Showed so much, so many mistakes and faults and cracks in the armor. He's got to really get back to the dressing room and get his act sorted out because, last night he did not look good at all. And for me, he got beat by a losing fighter. But somehow he got the decision. But, you know, hopefully he can take a long look at his performance and and work on the many faults that I saw.
You know, a couple of weeks ago, a WBC judge went to extremes. I believe from Arizona. I can't remember his name right now. But in the Oscar Valdez fight, I think he had it 117-110 for Valdez over the cat from Brazil. And everybody knows the fight was a lot closer than that. He apologized for that score on Fight News and this thing. Should these judges be held accountable? Should we just not use them anymore? I mean, Kenny, once these guys screw up once, why give them a second opportunity?
I don't understand it. You know, I really don't. You know, it's a very important call. It's a world title fight. You know, these judges you know, need to get it right. They need to get it right every time. And I can't see how one judge can have massive disparity in scorecards as to another. I mean, you know, one of the classic scorecards of all time for me was when Larry Holmes won the title off Ken Norton. All three judges had 1 point in a 15-round fight. To me, that is professionalism. That tells me that they had no axe to grind with either fighter, and they viewed the fight as they saw it, and basically ended up in the 15th round. Two judges liked what they saw from Larry in the last 30 seconds, and one judge liked what he saw from Norton in the first 2.5 minutes. And that's what you call, you know, real professional scorecarding.
Okay, let me put you on the spot. An anniversary came up of late. Larry Holmes and Michael Spinks, the first one. I was there. I didn't score it. I always thought it was like a lackluster fight on both guys' parts. But was Larry slipping at that point, Tom? Should Larry have just gotten aggressive, went out there and manhandled Michael Spinks?
Yeah, well, as you know, you're good friends with Larry, and I'm good friends with him too. I wasn't friends with him at that time, but when we were in training camp in 93, I asked him about that fight, and he said, Kenny, I just didn't turn up for the fight. He said, I just thought I was going to walk through him. He was a light heavyweight. You know, if I'd have trained like I should have done for the fight, it would have been an easy fight, but it was my mistake. I still think Larry won the fight. It was a close fight, but I thought Larry won it to make him go 50-0. But the thing is, by his own admission, he just put Spinks down as being someone he was going to walk through, and he just didn't do that. You know, Spinks was a clever, clever fighter, and you know, he messed Larry about a bit and ruined the chance of Larry becoming our equal in Rocky Marciano's record of 49-0.
Okay. You know, speaking of Larry Holmes, when he was the underdog, he came back and he beat Ray Mercer. Ray Mercer, I think, had beaten Tommy Morrison at that point in time. But here Larry was. I was at the fight. Here Larry was. He was looking around. His contact lens fell out. And he was looking for his contact. Do you remember that? Do you remember seeing that?
Oh, what a performance. What a performance. And, you know, again, you know, Larry came along after Ali, and then he was followed by Mike Tyson. Let me tell you, Pedro, if Larry would have got one or two tune-up fights, you would not have seen what happened to Larry the night he fought Mike Tyson. Never.
Well, let's be honest. You know, that Mike Tyson was young, and Larry Holmes was 38 years old at that point in time. And, you know, I mean, you know, age, listen, nobody beats Father Time. I mean, Evander Holyfield proved that a couple of weeks ago. You got any advice for Evander Holyfield, Kenny? I think you know Holyfield a little bit. You got any advice for him?
He needs to retire, man. I can't knock any fighter for taking. I mean, I don't know what the numbers. I'm hearing different numbers what he earns. Someone told me $1 million. Someone told me $4 million, $5 million. I don't know, but I can't knock a fighter for earning a living. You know, and he wasn't going to get seriously hurt by that guy anyway. He just got me to look a fool, which he isn't. He's a great, great fighter and should be remembered that way. But my advice would be, unless you have to do it, Evander, just stay away from boxing.
Straight up. Next week, when we talk, I want to get you on next week again. We'll talk about Evander Holyfield and the fact that he used steroids. Does that take away from any of his greatness? Kenny Rainford, you are the greatest, sir. As far as being a father is concerned, kiss your daughter. You're a great super dad. People don't know what a great dad you are, man, but congratulations to you as being a father and, of course, a great gentleman. Thank you, Sir Kenny Rainford.
No problem, anytime.
Mr. Kenny Rainford, that's right, one of my knighted guys from the UK. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV.
Many times I just yearn for the girl.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
Again.
Now more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Man, that is some old tower power going back to the early 1970s. Get your feet back on the ground. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV, of course, coming to you from the Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco, California. Hour number two forthcoming after the biased news. Of course, we've got horrible news in this network, but the bottom line is After the news, at the top of the hour, of course, in a couple of minutes, we'll spend some time with Oscar Valdez, the Linear World 130-pound champion. He's also the WBC title holder, undefeated, of course, coming off the somewhat controversial win a fortnight ago. It was on ESPN Plus, coming to us from Tucson, Arizona. So we'll spend some time with the champ, see what's up with him. We'll ask him what's on his, as far as predictions occur. It's always good to put, I like putting fighters on the spot, like who's going to win this, who's going to win that. And like they got personalities and they've got friends and, you know, so just put him on the spot. Let's see who he thinks is going to win the fight between Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder, and of course a couple other fights as well. So we'll have some fun in hour number two with Oscar Valdez. Of course, open phone lines all around the planet. You can join me on the toll-free if you'd like, 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. If you want to text us here in the studio, you can send us a text. The number, the studio text line, 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. Well, I guess the performance of the week has to go to the World Cruiserweight Champion, Lawrence O'Cooley. Of course, 17-0, 14 wax. You know, Dylan Provodic wasn't the greatest fighter in the world, but the fact that he took him out in the way, the manner in which he did, shows he's really superior at 200 pounds. Like Kenny said this about a year ago. He's the guy to watch. Obviously, he is the guy to watch now. I mean, he's going to make it, so you can't watch anybody else at cruiserweight. Let's see what happens at 200 pounds with him in the future. You are tuned to Ring Talk. Check it live worldwide. Your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. 37, make that 30 years now of a radio presence. Of course, it'll be live on Twitch.tv and WBC TV, live on Veev TV. Of course, straight up, hour number two forthcoming after the news, after the news. And we'll spend some time with Oscar Valdez, the WBC 130-pound champion. We'll also talk about some of the upcoming fights and the results of the previous weekend. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Stay tuned. Oscar Valdez in hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide after the news.